Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors getting blown out at home by the Boston Celtics. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament, that was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Let's hear what the Warriors had to say after the loss on Tuesday to the Celtics, as we hear from Steve Kerr, Kevin Durant, and DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
Well, right from the beginning, just the level of competition wasn't where it needed to be. You know, it was 11 to nothing, about 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and looked to me like we were jogging up the floor. Can't play basketball jogging. You got to sprint. Your cuts have to be hard. You got to be going all out, and we did not go all out, and it was embarrassing. It starts with a passion and an anger and an intensity, and it wasn't there tonight.
Obviously, another slow start, and Kerr's mentioning didn't have the, I guess, intensity, or even mentioned the Steve Kerr, or even the anger. Did you sense that? And does this team need a little more anger sometimes?
I thought we move off of joy. Now anger.
Coach said.
Oh, okay. I disagree with that one. I mean, I think all around, top to bottom, coaches, players, we just got to be better.
How would you assess your defense right now? Just overall.
How would you?
Well, it's like you're struggling a little bit.
What part?
But it's your opinion's what matters, not mine.
It's an adjustment. Trying to figure things out on how we want to play with the coverages. I'm trying to meet the needs and the coverages that they want. But you know, it's an adjustment period right now, so we're trying to figure it out. I want to adjust to the schemes, and you know, like I said, we're trying to figure that out right now and what's best, and it's a different look with the personnel every game. For you know, to say I'm struggling, that's a bit foolish, but it's a different look every game. You adjust to the personnel, of course, with a Kyrie and a Jason Tatum, you want to be up on the screen, and then in other situations you play other guards, you play back. You play the big, and you play in a drop. So, yeah, that's that.
Well, Ray, another blowout loss at home for the Warriors. This has happened a bunch of times now this season where the Warriors just look like they are not ready to play a game, and they certainly weren't against the Boston Celtics. They get blown out. The biggest loss, the largest margin of defeat in the Steve Kerr era for a home game for the Warriors. They lose by 33 points to the Celtics. And, you know, Ray, it just looked like they didn't want to play defense. It's almost like there were several players on the team that looked like they didn't even want to be there. How did you assess this loss to the Celtics?
That was embarrassing. Steve Kerr said it. It was embarrassing. I get it. It's a long season. You can't get it for every game. They didn't have Clay. They didn't have Sean. The Celtics came playing. But, good Lord, you know, start out like you care. You know, the first quarters have been abysmal, and last night was yet another one where the Celtics shot 61%. Everybody shooting over 50% in the first quarter against them, putting up big numbers, and the Warriors just dig a hole. That's that to me is a really troubling sign But it's also a sign that a lot of these guys, they've been through this before, and it's hard to take the regular season seriously. That's the bottom line here. Maybe they'll get up for the Denver game. I thought they would have gotten up to this game against a team that's scuffling and that presumes to challenge them from the East, even though the Celtics have had hard times of late. But it's, you know, we've seen this before against the teams that presume to challenge him, the so-called top shelf teams, whether it's Houston, whether it's Oklahoma City, whether it's Boston. They just face plant in the first quarter, and they've drawn a goose egg at home, and they've gotten run out of the gym by a few of these teams. That has to be troubling. You know, at the same time, you know, we were probably clutching pearls at the end of the regular season last year when they faded, and they ended up with the 2 seed, and they end up surviving and getting to the finals, and you know, everything that happened in the end of game one pretty much told the stories of that series, and the Warriors swept out the Cavaliers. But Houston was on the doorstep. So you got to take these challenges a little more seriously, I think. But there's just stuff going on right now with this team. I wouldn't call it a crisis, but there's some drama. And there has been for the last couple of years. And I guess it's inevitable when you have, you know, guys with egos, you know, high-profile players, and guys who've been through this before. It's you can't expect when you go to the arena that you're going to get the Warriors' best effort. If I'm paying a ticket for last night's game, I want a refund.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, too, kind of ironic that the Celtics were the team that people were talking about that was dysfunctional coming into this game.
Yeah.
I mean, they had lost 7 of 10, and you know, looked like they had some issues in their locker room. But after the game, it became the Warriors that were the ones that had the issues. And you can understand, Ray, when you're not knocking down shots, and you know, I know Durant didn't have a good shooting game. The team didn't have a good shooting game. But
right.
Defensively, it looked like they just weren't in it. I mean, they were not trying to defend the way they normally would. And I understand Gordon Hayward having a great game, and he's going off. But there were players that were wide open. There were miscommunication issues on defense where you have just a guy dunking and nobody around him. And a lot of that was surrounding DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, no doubt that he's struggling right now with the Warriors' defensive system.
He is. And for him to say postgame, it's foolish to say I'm struggling. Ron Howard narrator voice, it wasn't foolish. No, he is struggling, but it's not his fault. There's a lot of things going on there in terms of assignments, and there are things that he still doesn't know in terms of communication, but also teams are going after him, and they're exploiting him right now because, you know, he's not 100% yet as far as his mobility. He's getting there, but he's not there yet. So, you know, he's had some good games, some bad games. Seems to play better on the road, that's for sure. But that's where Andrew Bogut comes in. And it looks like he's coming on the scene, and then maybe he gives them 10 good minutes of defense and an edge and some nastiness and, you know, spend a few fouls like we're talking about in the last podcast. Maybe that's what they need a little bit more of, and see if, you know, what happens if they try to attack him. Sounded like he looked pretty good in Australia, so we'll see. I think it's, you know, it's a worthy gamble. They also need some scoring off the bench. That was exposed last night. But you also have to remember, they didn't have Sean Livingston. He was a late scratch, and Clay Thompson was rested. And, you know, we marvel at how durable Clay has been and how he goes all out at both ends of the floor. The Warriors' plan was to revive the Celtics' confidence to make the Eastern Conference playoffs even more of a bloodbath, so it would be a real slog to the finals. Well, that level right there, that's playing the long game. I don't think that was, you know, in their plan. If that's what it ends up being, well, you know, there you go. Light years.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro Heating and Air contractors have a solid reputation for having thorough knowledge of residential heating and air conditioning systems, as well as commercial HVAC systems. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. It also wasn't in the Warriors' plans to have a coach say one thing and then a player say another, as we heard right off the top. Yeah. I mean, you could hear, you know, Steve Kerr saying the team isn't running up and down the floor and that they need to get angry. And then you've got Kevin Durant saying the opposite, like, you know, we want to play with joy. And that was always the theme coming into this season was, yeah, we're going to play with joy. But when you're not hustling and, you know, when you got a team that played the way the Warriors did on Tuesday night, you can understand the coach saying that. It was a little odd that Durant wouldn't acknowledge that in a way. And I mean, he just seemed like he was real surly with the media. Yeah. I don't know what was going on with Durant. Maybe he's just in a bad mood.
Well, yeah, the best mood was when he was greeting Kyrie after the game. And of course, they're friends. And there's going to be a lot of speculation about when they go to New York. And you know, he's mad about all that speculation. And some people in the organization are concerned that his behavior lately is a sign that he's out of here, that he's over it. But Durant, I'm sure, will put the kibosh on that once again. And let's be honest, nobody really knows what's in his mind. Nobody would be shocked if he went to New York, of course. But, you know, at this point, it's really hard to say. If you judge by the way he's been acting lately, yeah, it sounds like he's reached the end of the line here. But he may have a switch up for him. I thought he was going to say in OKC, so what do I know about it? He ends up coming here and doing great things. And let me say this to fans. No matter what happens with Durant, you all celebrated him coming here and, you know, exercising his rights 3 years ago on that 4th of July. Don't rip him now if he decides to go somewhere else and, again, exercise his rights. He's, you know, if he ends up bringing three straight championships here, he goes down as an all-time great Warrior. There's no question about that, no matter what happens in the future. You know, we're not there yet. You know, that's all going to be hushed out in the offseason. But nights like last night, you know, that fuels that speculation. It's just inevitable. But the thing, Joe, that I get tired of is the beleaguered superstar from Kyrie as well, although Kyrie was in a very good mood last night. You know, I can't stand all this stuff outside of the basketball court. I'm just here to hoop. Listen, you're making millions and millions off of this hype machine. Don't sit there and complain about it. It's a tired act, and especially if you're going year to year in your contract. People don't want to hear that, all right? You know, I get it. There are going to be stories out there that you have a problem with. That's fine. But don't sit here and say that it's you know, it's something wrong because it's something you didn't expect. This is the NBA. You know how it works. The hype machine, star-making machinery, as Joni Mitchell once wrote, is second to none. And that's why the NBA has reached the heights that it has reached and why these players have reached the heights that it has reached. It doesn't mean that, you know, you can't call out a story that you think is wrong, but don't sit there and complain about the process.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I think maybe Durant and even the whole team is sort of a victim of their own talent where they think they can flip the switch. And I don't think you can always get away with it. Seems like they have been able to do that. I mean, look, last year at the end of the year, like you said before, didn't play well, but flipped the switch. But, you know, at some point, it's just not a good idea. I mean, you should be able to come out there every game. You got, like you said, paying customers that came to see this game, and it just seemed to me like Durant and maybe a couple other players, you know, it's sort of like they said, you know, this is the game where we're going to just take off. We're not going to worry about it. I mean, it's the Celtics. You'd be surprised that would be the team that you would do that against, but it just seemed to me like that at some point in the game they just said, you know, this is just another regular season game. We're still going to get the number one seed. We're really not worried about it.
Well, they're testing the limits of that year to year, aren't they?
Yeah.
And after 73-9, I think the message got in their head, we can't do this like this. We can't go full throttle in the year. And I kind of understand that point of view. They're taking it completely in the other direction. And so far, they've survived. They're still, a game and a half up on Denver. They better get up for the Denver game, you know, if they really want the number one seed. I guess we'll find out how much they care about the one seed. Last year, they kind of frittered it away, and they tested the limits to the fourth quarter of Game 7, and they got through it because Houston couldn't make a three. I would advise against playing with fire again this year.
Dubs OT continues in just a moment.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
Let's get back to Cousins and what's going on with him. I mean, defensively, because there were times where he just looks lost. I mean, he looked like he had no idea what they were doing as far as the switches, and I'm sure they're going to work hard on that. But, you know, I just wonder if it's something that other teams now are going to attack. I mean, he's just not going to be able to pick up guards, and he just seems confused. Maybe that gets alleviated, but still, he's not moving laterally quick enough when he does have to switch on a guard.
Well, they know that, and they've been attacking that. I think that's the weakness they see right now in his game. It could very well get better, and I think there are communication issues that still have to be worked out. And that's on Cousins, but it's also on his teammates. So that's one that's holistic, I think. You can't put it all on DeMarcus Cousins. But at the same time, as he comes back from, a devastating injury, anybody who's had an Achilles rupture or tear can tell you how long it takes to get back to where you are. Paul George was saying after his knee exploded that it took 2 years for him to feel free and to not think about it. Gordon Hayward is going through that now, and he's just starting to come back. Played a couple of good games before the All-Star break, has been up and down, but looked great last night. I think Cousins is still kind of working through that. Still, you know, they're ramping up his durability, and the mobility just isn't there like he'd like it to be so far. And it seems in the past he is capable of being a good defensive player when he wants to. But on this team now, you know, he's having discussions with the coaches on the side. I wouldn't say it's heated, but both sides are making their point, and you can tell it's not altogether pleasant. So there's some things that are going to miss, obviously, right now. I mean, the one where I think it was Cousins, and I forget, was it McKinney at the top of the circle, and they let Baines in all alone. I mean, that's glaring. That stuff can't happen. And that's communication. So they got to work on that. They got a month to do it before the playoffs. Not saying that they can't, but I think they do need another center. And they need everybody healthy, that's for sure. And, you know, listen, it's all about ramping up in the postseason. We know that. I wouldn't call last night a ramp. I would call that a fall off the trail. And you're climbing back up to it after that game. But you know, I think we see the big picture as well. And we got to remember that with this team. It's just that they test the limits like I was talking about.
More Warriors talk right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro's goal is to provide each family and business with the most energy-efficient heating and air conditioning system to fit their needs. Enviro is happy to provide a free estimate for your new energy-efficient HVAC system. Contact Enviro Heating and Air today to get an estimate and lower your monthly heating and air conditioning energy costs. Call 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. When you're getting down to the last month, like you said, with 18 games remaining, you would think maybe by this point you'd have it figured out as far as the bench and who you can trust. Now, Bogut's going to be added. They're very familiar with Bogut, and they know what he can and cannot do, and he's going to help. Definitely going to help defensively, and we've talked about his passing and everything. But who do you trust now off the bench to shoot the basketball? Because Damian Lee, you know, at one point, you know, he has one good game, then he has another game where you're like, you know. And there really aren't any guys that I can think of right now that are going to come off that bench consistently that you could trust as an offensive guy. It's kind of up in the air. You have guys that have a good game here or there, but it's just not consistent.
Yeah, what happened to hashtag strength in numbers? You know, that's That's from 2014, 2015, when you had Barbosa and Spates and guys who could shoot coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Or even Ian Clark a couple of years ago, who ended up being a pretty reliable guy off the bench. You know, you would have guys like Livingston and Jarebko would give that to you, and Jarebko did for part of the season, but now his role has been altered by Boogie Cousins coming on the scene. So it's a little disjointed in that way for the Warriors. And it's been disjointed because of certain injuries they've had this year, too, outside of Cousins. But, no, that's the problem with this team. It's a problem, and it's a strength. They're very top-heavy. You know, their stars, their top-shelf players are better than the top-shelf players on any other team because they've got more of them. So when you roll that starting five out there, it's tremendous. But, yeah, I mean, we saw it last night. You know, they got off to the slow start, and then the second unit came in and played terribly. And, you know, you had Jacob Evans in there for a few minutes, which you probably wouldn't have if Livingston and Clay aren't scratched for the game. So, you know, I'll see these guys healthy and together, at least for the last few games of the regular season, to get it going into the postseason. But, again, you know, they've had to play different cards this year that I don't think they had planned on playing. And now here comes another one off the river, Andrew Bogut. So I don't know if it's an ace or a three of clubs and you're not suited. We'll find out about that. But I think he's going to be a good addition for a short period of time. You know, he didn't play a lot of games in Australia, so I don't think there's that wear and tear. And at 34, they're going to handle him kick gloves.
I think Jordan Bell is the one guy that's really improved on that bench. And, you know, he's getting more playing time, or at least he did against the Celtics. But you know, it just seems like he has a better idea now. You know, he's definitely running the floor and getting to the basket and, you know, going out on those outlets. And of course, he blocks shots. He's, you know, a great athlete. But, you know, I know he's had his ups and downs. I'm hoping that he's a guy that can sort of count on as far as, you know, getting to the basket. I know he's not a shooter, definitely not. But a guy that they could count on to slash to the basket and be a little more confident in that way.
He's a guy they did use in the postseason against certain teams last year, did play important minutes. So, yeah, he could be in the rotation in some series as well. And there was a time earlier in this year where I wondered whether his days were numbered. He looked like he was completely out of favor. But he has responded pretty well lately, I will say that. And there's been that opportunity to be out of game as well. So, you know, maybe in the end it's all to the good that you get some guys some playing time that's maybe they wouldn't have it with guys being out, guys injured. He's a guy who I think can be a factor for 10, 15 minutes against certain teams, too. Again, they're going to use Bogut, you know, say in a series against Oklahoma City and Steven Adams, or maybe against Gobert and the Jazz. There are certain Capella, you know, guys who've been feasting on the Warriors. We saw Capella have a tremendous game at Oracle a couple of months ago. I think he put up 24-20. So those are the teams, and those are the guys I think they think about with Bogut. But you can bring in Bell, and he can create a problem for you because he can get up and down the floor, and because he is so athletic. You know, so yeah, with him, it's also been a communication issue, learning going defense, and he seems like he has a better idea. And I have doubts about it, but he has responded decently lately.
Yeah, and this team has played pretty well on the road when they've been tested, it seems like. I mean, yeah, I mean they had those losses against Orlando and Miami, but those weren't teams that I don't think they were really getting up for. They've got a couple games coming up on the schedule, Ray, that I would think they would get up for. You mentioned Capella and the Rockets, and that's coming up next Wednesday, and then they play at Oklahoma City next Saturday. So those are games on the schedule, plus this Denver game coming up Friday at home. That, you know, you would think that they would get up for them. It'll be interesting to see how they play and what their attitude is about these games.
Well, you know right away, won't you? Because, like I said, they face plant in the first quarter lately. So maybe if they find a way not to, they're more involved. They're more engaged really emotionally and, as well as physically. But, yeah, I mean, you're talking about they want to get a win against Houston maybe in the regular season, maybe try that out. Denver, for obvious reasons, you want to keep that top seed. And Oklahoma City, another team that's challenging, you want to send a message. You would think, and I'll underline this, you would think they would get up for these games. So we'll see if that's the case. Maybe Boston was the rest game, and you know they didn't see the damage with that. And so why push Clay? Why push Sean Livingston? But it would be nice to see all these guys back on the court and fully engaged against the team, whether it's at home or on the road. We'll see if, you know, we'll just see how interested they are in this next week or so.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, look forward to talking about it next week after at least a couple of big games here against Denver and Houston. Thanks, Ray.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.